Good tidings, everybody, and welcome to the Secret Ansem Report, episode number 4. That's right, this is the shortest running Kingdom Hearts podcast named the Ansem Report. I'm Mike, you know me. This is a mailbag. If you don't know what a mailbag is, that's fine. I'm just going to talk about stuff you guys want me to talk about. As you'll notice, I'm wearing the same outfit as the last episode because I had to batch record two of these because I have a business trip I have to go on. I don't want to batch record these all the time. I like it to stay current because, like, for example, I'm in the past. Right now, this is airing, I think, the weekend of the Super Bowl. I have no idea if the Lions are in the Super Bowl or not. I don't know who won the Royal Rumble. I don't know anything. It's maddening. I'm in the past, and I need to be in the future. But I'm batch recording this so you guys will have an episode on time because I'm a man of my word. And when I say that, we're going to have either a Secret Ansem Report podcast or an Ansem Report podcast every week. We're going to do it. So here we are. Last episode, I haven't edited it yet because I just recorded these back to back. I had this heater over here on the whole episode. So hopefully episode number 3 didn't sound like dog shit. But if it did, I apologize, and this one will not sound like dog shit as recompense for that. So thank you. If you want me to talk about something you want me to talk about, that's a weird sentence. If you want me to talk about something, all you have to do is go down into Discord, join, go to the Secret Ansem Report section, list something that you want me to talk about or ask me a question, and then hang around. It's a great place to be. We have a wonderful Discord, a wonderful community that you should interact with because they're great people, whether it's Kingdom Hearts or wrestling or Final Fantasy or video games in general. Pal World, is Pal World still a thing? I don't know. I'm in the past. I can't tell you if Pal World is still a thing, but it was a thing when I recorded this. Anyway, let's get into it. Before we get into what you guys want me to talk about, I promised the last episode that I would talk about Rock Band here. Because I'm a little peeved. I'm still in the past, so I'm still peeved by this. But Rock Band announced that on January 25th, in the past, that would be the last day they're going to release Rock Band DLC for now. If you don't know, they've been releasing weekly DLC since Rock Band came out, with the exception of a couple-year period between like 2013 and 2015 or something like that, when they didn't have a Rock Band game out. And so it did come back before. So there's precedence that they're going to bring it back. But they've announced that they are no longer doing it. And I'm completely okay with the idea of something ending because it is no longer profitable or no longer makes sense for the company to do so. I'm completely okay with that. What I'm not okay with is them announcing this and going, hey, by the way, you can still play songs in Fortnite Festival. Now, I kind of predicted this coming when Epic bought Harmonix. If you don't know these game companies, Epic is the company behind Fortnite, among many other things. And Harmonix is the company that, one, made Guitar Hero, and then Activision took it over. And then they made Rock Band to compete. And they've been making Rock Band ever since. They were owned by MTV Games at one point and then bought their own freedom back. So they've been around a long time. They're a great studio. They've made other games, too, that are great, like Amplitude and Fuser. Who remembers Fuser? I might pull off Fuser. That game's fun. But they've been the sole proprietor of, like, making Rock Band songs for years and years and years, and it's been a source of happiness for me every week to see what the announcement is. Even when it's songs I don't like, I'm like, oh, that's cool. They're releasing songs still. Now they're not. And it seemed to indicate by the blog post that it had a lot to do with Fortnite Festival. So I predicted that when Epic bought Harmonix, that this would stop. And that they bought Harmonix to work on stuff for Fortnite. I didn't realize they were just going to kind of make like a weird Rock Band clone in Fortnite at the time. That was not on my bingo card. But that's like, Fortnite Festival, although I have not played it, is not at all the same thing as Rock Band, nor will it be. And that's just so frustrating that they're taking this game series I love down just to put it in Fortnite, question mark? And they're like, oh, you'll be able to use your instrument soon, and but who cares? That's not why I boot up Fortnite. Or I rarely boot up Fortnite. But when I do, it's not to play some bastardized version of Rock Band. I have a lot of fond memories of Rock Band. I figured I'd talk about a couple of them here, kind of as a rest in peace for a series that I've loved for a long time. I've competed in Rock Band competitions and been very successful. Me and the band I'm in, Jimmy Twinkle and the Bad. It's a great name. No one knows what Bad stands for. No one knows what Jimmy Twinkle is, my friend Jameson, and the BAD, or Bad. No one knows what it stands for. I know what it stands for. I'm not going to tell you. But we played for 20 hours straight in the MTV store. We've competed in Atlantic City. We've got to do all kinds of awesome things because of Rock Band. And it's been a really important thing to me for a long time, even after it's kind of lost cultural relevance, which it definitely has. We've been able to do Rock Band concerts during charity streams and marathon streams, and you guys have always been really receptive to it. It's just so fun. It's not the same as playing an instrument, but it's a great way to interact with music in a different way. That's fun and collaborative. Like, you play with other people, you feel like you're really on stage sometimes. You feel like you're really performing. Not to say it would replace real instruments or anything. Like, a lot of old guitarists are like, Rock Band Guitar Hero, you should learn to play a real guitar. Sure, but that's not what it's there for. That's not what it is. And I'm just going to miss it dearly. I hope it comes back. I hope we get Rock Band 5. I don't have faith in that because I just think Epic knows that's... I don't know that that's going to make money. You know, like, and to their credit, I don't know that it's going to make money, and that's what Epic's about. And Fortnite Festival, unfortunately, is probably Rock Band 5. So, anyway, rest in peace, Rock Band. We love you. At the end of this episode, I will post a performance, a clip from a performance of Jimmy Twinkle and the Bad for you guys, just so you can see what we were like at our height. Rest in peace, Rock Band. All right, let's move on to what you guys want me to talk about. Starting first, we have our good friend, Fabio the Iguana, who says, what's your least favorite songs by your favorite bands? As many or as little as you'd like to share? So this is an interesting question. Okay, so Coheed and Cambria, my favorite band, got the tattoo and everything. They have a couple clunkers. A couple. But the most egregious one to me is on The Afterman, Ascension, and it's called Key Entity Extraction 2, Hollywood the Cracked. I remember when this album came out, and I was living with my good friend Rex Overdrive, and one of my friends had bought me the album, and I went home to play it, and he's like, oh yeah, I'll listen to it with you. And we were listening to it, and we're like, okay, this rips, this jams, you know. And then we got to Hollywood the Cracked. And he just looks at me, and he goes, is this butt rock? And it was maybe the most embarrassed I've ever been to be a Coheed fan. Because the song is tough. It's a little Buck Cherry-like in sound. It's a strange lyrical content song. It's about a woman who was stalking him and his wife, and then the way Coheed works is Claudio, the lead singer and writer, will take an experience in his life and then turn them into a character in the story, overarching story of Coheed and Cambria. And so he took this like stalker woman and made her part of the story by like making the situation more outrageous and all that. But one of the lines is, Hollywood, Hollywood, look out, here she comes. Hollywood, Hollywood, fucking a loaded gun. As in, like, having sex with a loaded gun. It's just not a very good song. Fabio will defend it, and I know that's... I think what Fabio wanted to do with this question is get me to say that Hollywood the Cracked is bad so he can try and defend it, but I'm standing firm here. Hollywood the Cracked is a bad song. The other Coheed song that I'll share that I'm not a fan of is, you know, like I said, Claudio's a very creative guy. He comes up with a lot of interesting ideas. It's one of the reasons I love the band so much. But they did this thing in 2020 where he decided he was going to write the sequel to Jesse's Girl. You know the song Jesse's Girl? Oh, I wish I had Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield. And the idea was, what if Rick got the titular Jesse to be his, and then it turned out she was a psychopath, is the sequel to the song. And Rick Springfield sings on it, but it's just not, it's not good. It's a stupid concept for one, and then the song itself isn't, it doesn't really sound like Jesse's Girl, which I guess doesn't have to be a sequel, but like, writing a sequel to someone else's song is just a strange, interesting concept, and I don't think it worked for him here. So I'll also nominate that as a bad Coheed song. So I decided I'll do like five of my favorite bands, and I'll name their worst song. That seems like a good number, right? And if someone wants me to do more in the interim or later, I will do so. Okay, so up next is Fall Out Boy. And there's a lot to choose from here, because there's actually, in the middle of their catalog, there's a lot of songs that I'm just not a big fan of, or albums even. But my least favorite is the title track from the album American Beauty, American Psycho. I just think the song sucks. I just think it's bad. It's not good. It's just not a good song. There's no way you could shake it. This is their worst album by far to me, too. There's a couple good songs on it, but like American Beauty, American Psycho is just a bad song. Not a fan. There's nothing about it that I like. Even other songs on here that I'm not, like Uma Thurman, which was the single off this album, is fine. It's not my favorite song. There's some good parts of it. A lot of people don't like that song, and I understand. I can find more redeeming qualities in that song, whereas American Beauty, American Psycho is just, yeah, Aki Patootie. Aki Patootie. Okay, so this next one's from a band I really like called Taking Back Sunday, or at least a band I used to really like. Some of their newer stuff I'm not as into, but their first couple albums really important to me. And this one's off their first album, Tell All Your Friends. And it's a song that I think a lot of people would agree with is the weakest song in this album and probably the weakest song in their catalog. And it's called Head Club. And it just like, it's not out of key, but it feels like it is. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of, like, Adam Lazara, especially in this era, the lead singer of Taking Back Sunday, has a certain way of singing, and it's a lot how I actually, you know, as someone who's not trained to sing, where it's very breathy and very, like, very screamy and powerful. Like, I don't mean screamy as in, like, harsh vocals. I mean screamy as, like, he's using all of his, like, diaphragm and lung power to get it out there. Like, I can decently sing, but I cannot sing quietly because I need to use my lung power and my diaphragm to really like belt. And he does it. And it just doesn't work on this album. Like he's just like, or not on this album, on the song. It's not a good song. Like, and the rest of the album is really good. It's like a banger after banger. It's a very legendary album for that reason. But I think most people would agree Head Club, not a very good song. I like the name though. Where do I sign up for the Head Club? I've actually found this exercise to be harder than I thought it was going to be. Like, you guys aren't seeing this because I'm cutting it out, but there have been some big, like, quiet spaces in between while I'm kind of looking at different bands and stuff. So, like, some of my favorite bands aren't going to be on one of the bands featured here because I don't really have, like, a strong feeling about a bad song from them. But My Chemical Romance is up next, and this is their most popular song. And I'm not just saying this. I didn't know that. I'm just looking at Spotify right now, and this song has the most plays, and it's Teenagers. I hate this song. I don't think this song's good. I don't think this song is worthy of all the recognition it's gotten. I think the recognition it's gotten is kind of at odds with the song's content. You know what I mean? Like, it's like the people that he's singing about are the people who like this song. You know, like, and it's just, it's just not what I listen to My Chemical Romance for, I guess. But apparently I'm in the minority there because it has fucking 860 million plays on Spotify. So that's nuts. But just not a song. If that song comes up, I skip it. I've seen them play it live and it's like, fine. You know, I'm like, okay, I'm bobbing my head. But it's just, if I don't have to listen to this song, I will not. So another band I really like are The Killers. And they have a lot of really good songs. They have a lot of really passionate and meaningful songs. But one song I do not like by them is the song Human off their album Day and Age. It was a pretty big single for them. And again, this is another song that has millions and millions of plays on Spotify. What bothers me about it, I think the song's fine, but he's like, the lyrics. Are we human or are we dancer? Denser? No one, I think he said the lyric is dancer. I think Brandon Flowers came out and said it's dancer. That I don't even, what the fuck does that mean, dude? Are we human or are we dancer? Both? Neither? I don't know. I try to enjoy the song and then I hear that line and I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like that. It's like the little things sometimes with music that just, the little things just drive you crazy. So there you go, Fabio. That was a much harder exercise than I thought it was going to be because I typically am not a super critical person when it comes to music. I like most music I listen to. And if I don't like it, I don't listen. So it's hard to talk about something I haven't listened to a ton of, but these songs are songs that I have, and I don't necessarily like them and choose not to anymore, I guess. So next up is from Disguire. I'd love for you to talk about theme parks. What's your favorite park? What's your favorite ride? Best theme park memory? Is there anywhere in the world you would want to travel to go to a specific theme park? When Jason gets all set up, you could visit and go to Super Nintendo World. I've heard really positive things about it. So, interestingly enough, I kind of work in a theme park, like a mini theme park. But on that same token, I'm not really a big ride guy. I don't like roller coasters. I don't like heights. The speed of a roller coaster is fine. The going upside down, the spinning, that stuff's all fine with me. It's the heights I don't like. And so if you get me on like one of those big roller coasters, I'm white knuckle holding on for my life because I'm afraid the fucking track's going to fall off or we're going to go flying off the track. So I'm not really a big ride guy, but I do enjoy theme parks. There's a theme park near here called Michigan's Adventure, which is like the theme park I've probably been to the most. And it's a small, it's like a Cedar Pointy kind of like smaller deal. It's a water park and a theme park. I like going there when I've gone there. I've been to Cedar Point in Ohio like once. I was really young. Don't like rides, so I didn't really like enjoy myself. But I could probably find enjoyment now. I went to Disney with Tara a few years ago for the first time, Disney World, and I really enjoyed my time there. Part of that is because Tara is so good at planning. And I've tried to convince her, like, there's a job for you in planning people's vacations because not only is she good at it, she loves it. She just lights up and she just gets, like, so into planning every little minutia and minute detail and making sure that we're hitting everything we need to hit and want to do. And I love that because I'm not a planner. But in that kind of situation, I feel like I wouldn't get the most out of a place like Disney World because I'm not a planner. So for Tara to kind of lead the way and do all that, and she's just incredible at it and has such a passion for it. So I really had a good time at Disney World. You hit the nail on the head with Super Mario World, Super Nintendo World. When Jason goes to Japan, I definitely plan on visiting, and I definitely plan on going there. I want to wait till they do the DK expansion, though, because I love DK. And I know that means I'll probably be riding a barrel roller coaster or some shit, but I'll do it for DK. My favorite ride, it's funny because I just said I don't really like roller coasters because of the height, but this one doesn't go too high. I really love Slinky Dog Roller Coaster. Tara and I waited a long time to ride that because it was pretty new when we went, and I just think it's so funny and so fun. We waited over an hour to ride it, and I was like, should we get back in line? And she was like, no, we have other stuff to do. But I was like, I love Slinky Dog Roller Coaster. My favorite part actually has nothing to do with the ride. Well, kind of. When you're waiting, you know, they have the safety message that that is played over and over as you're waiting. And they do it in multiple languages, you know, so people who speak Spanish, for example, can hear it. But it's done in Slinky Dog's voice or someone doing Slinky Dog's voice because that actor is unfortunately passed, but doing a very good impression. But then when they go to Spanish, he's still doing the voice. So he's like, bienvenidos. Like it, and it's so fucking funny to me hearing him talk in Spanish. I think if I watched Toy Story in Spanish, I'd have a fucking riot with it because I just think that's fucking hilarious. Slinky Dog's voice in Spanish. I don't know why. But the ride itself is cool. I love how it looks like Andy left his toys in the backyard, and that's what you're riding. Like the actual, like, you know, through his yard and stuff. And I just think it's a really cool ride. Space Mountain was really cool. One ride I don't like is the Rock and Roller Coaster, because it's Aerosmith, and Aerosmith gives me a fucking headache. We rode the Rock and Roller Coaster, even though I knew, I was like, this is just going to jerk Aerosmith off, and it's a roller coaster. It's indoors, so I'm more okay with it than the outside ones, but, and it was just, I was just like, I hate Aerosmith. This sucks. I said, the only way, I have this thing with Tara where I always talk about my own personal hell is I'd be in a vat of mustard, because I just hate mustard. And like, I was like, the only way that'd make this ride be worse is if they sprayed mustard on me while I was riding it. So yeah, don't like Rock and Roller Coaster. I think they should phase Aerosmith out and do somebody else. My money's on Fall Out Boy, but we'll see. But yeah, no, I hope that answers the question. I like theme parks, but I more like the idea of them. That, like, we have rides at my job that I haven't ridden, because I'm like, no, I don't need to ride that. There's one where it's like a pendulum, and then the seats are on a circle facing outwards, and then it swings like this and spins, but then it also goes upside down about, you know, 15 feet in the air, 20 feet in the air, and I have no desire to ride that. So, like, there's stuff like that I just don't want to do, but I do like theme parks overall. Thank you for the question.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Corn asks, what's your most memorable gaming achievement? This one's tough. Because I'm not really, I mean, I've gotten more into like the trophy hunting and achievement stuff. And I know you didn't mean literally achievement. You just mean something I've done in a video game. But I've gotten more into that challenge stuff through streaming and all that. But it's not really my bag, typically. But I'm starting to enjoy myself more with it. Like I said, I think last episode, I've been playing Hades, trying to get the plat, and like that's been a lot of fun. I mean, honestly, if we're talking just like straight gaming achievement, beating Kingdom Hearts on crit is a. I know it's funny because we meme about it all the time. Not something I would have typically done without the stream, right? And so the fact that I could, you know, beat Kingdom Hearts 3 on crit, even though I know that's not the hardest Kingdom Hearts to do it on, but like that was pretty big deal for me, especially the data fights. I don't think I ever went back and beat Yozora, but the data fights, that I was pretty excited that I could do that from just a pure gamer standpoint. I don't know that this counts, but tangentially, like using gaming and streaming to raise large amounts of money for charity is probably the right answer if that counts, because like that, you know, and that's through your guys' generosity and help. But like being able to do that kind of stuff through gaming is really exciting to me. Especially like the causes that we've raised for with specifically able gamers. Like that's so important to me to have a world where everybody can enjoy video games as much as I do, regardless of what would be hampering them from doing so. Or that if something did happen to me and I would, you know, have help to be able to continue to still game. Like that's super important to me. And that to me is the biggest achievement, is raising the amount of money we've had to do that. I know that's not what you were looking for, but I think that's the answer I'm going to go with. Album of the week. Album of the week. It's been 4 weeks and I haven't said a Coheed and Cambria album. So here we are. We're going to talk about what might be my favorite Coheed and Cambria album. I have to look to make sure I get the name right here. 2005's Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4, Volume 1, From Fear Through the Eyes of Madness. That's a mouthful. But this is a definitely, it depends on the week, but probably my favorite Coheed and Cambria album. This is them at their most nutty. This is an album that you want to listen to all the way through. I very rarely, when picking this album, say, hey, I want to listen to just this song. It's an album that's an experience, and it's an hour and 11 minutes long. So it's typically an album I listen to when I'm driving somewhere a distance, or I'm working on something that I know is going to take a long time and I don't need the auditory parts of my brain to do. So not editing, but other things. But it's an incredible album. The last, The Willing Well at the end here, where there's four songs called The Willing Well, 1, 2, 3, and 4, just an incredible stretch of album, all songs over 7 minutes long, and just, an incredible piece of music there. It has Welcome Home on it for all you that, only know Coheed Little on the outskirts there. Welcome Home is probably their biggest song, and, it's there, it's on there. But it's an experience. It's an album that's truly an experience. Every other album I've talked about, I'll say Take Me Back to Eden is a similar deal where I feel like it's an album you want to listen to all the way through. But the other two albums I talked about, that's not really the case. But this one's definitely like a cinematic feeling, big, movie score type album, but it's also like a progressive rock album, and I really enjoy it for that. There's very few songs that I even have the desire to skip. There's one that's like, maybe you skip it, I don't know, but I don't. I listen to the whole album all the way through. Every time I listen to it, it's just an incredible album. It's my favorite Coheed album. And if you ask me next week, I might say Second Stage Turbine Blade or In Keeping Secrets of Sound or 3 or something else. But right now it's Good Apollo. And I think if I was always honest with myself, that would always be my favorite album. So if you want an introduction to Coheed, this might be the album, even though it gets really wacky and abstract towards the end. But I think the intro to the album is accessible enough and it revs up and maybe you'll be into it. Maybe you won't. I don't know, but check it out if you want. That's my album of the week. Wildcat Diana asks, what is your favorite thing about Michigan and your least favorite thing about Michigan? So my favorite thing about Michigan, and it's something that I think a lot of Michiganders, that's what we're called, take for granted, is the Great Lakes, specifically Lake Michigan, because that's the lake I live closest to. And it's like having the ocean near you. Now, a lot of places have the ocean near them. And people who don't live in Michigan or near the Great Lakes go there and they go, wow, this is so awesome. Like, we have that. And it's not saltwater, you know? So it's the best parts of the ocean without being saltwater. And so you can just, you know, it's an hour drive to get to the beach. And people don't get it. They don't understand, because when you say lake, you think of a contained entity. This is literally just like a mini ocean. You know what I mean? And like, you can't see land. You can't see Wisconsin over there, or you can't see whatever, you know, depending on what direction you're looking. It is just, so like when I go see the ocean, I'm not as impressed because I'm like, oh, we have this. So I think it's really cool that we have that in Michigan, specifically in the area I live. And most areas in Michigan, you're pretty close to one of the Great Lakes, no matter where you're at. And I think that's awesome. The worst thing is the unpredictable weather sometimes is a lot. You know, we've had days where it is like, you know, a decent day weather-wise out, and then snow comes out of nowhere, or it rained, snowed, sleet, and hailed all in the same day. The lakes, in the same reason I like the lakes, they affect the weather in very random ways. It's kind of like living in your own weather randomizer, because it can really fuck the shit up, and it makes the winters pretty tough sometimes. Like, we had the last couple weeks, we had some really tough storms that kind of shut down everywhere. And in order to shut down Michigan, specifically in our area, it's got to be pretty bad. Like, I know a lot of, like, Tara's sister lives in North Carolina, and if they get the tiniest sprinkling of snow, they shut down the roads, right? Because people aren't equipped for it. It has to be a lot of snow and a lot of ice and a lot of, you know, just scariness to shut down this part of Michigan, and it did, right? So that's tough. And I like snow until it just gets too cold. You know what I mean? Until it's too much. It's like, okay, I'm done. That being said, that's not enough to make me want to live anywhere else. I really like living in Michigan, and I know I talked about that one or two episodes ago or three episodes ago, but I don't think I want to live anywhere else. I like it here. This is my city. This is my town. This is where I'm from. London is my city. Isn't that what he said? Britain is my city. What did he say? He said something stupid. Anyway, I fucked it up. It's fine. Moving on. Gypt214 with maybe one of the most asinine questions I've gotten. Mike, imagine you could meet your soulmate. I don't have to imagine that, but anyway. But to meet them, you have to eat a tree or a baby. But whichever one you choose to eat, your soulmate has to eat the other one. This challenge is not time sensitive, and you can take as long as you want. So here's the thing, Jip. This is a weird question coming from a married man. Because imagine you could meet your soulmate. I don't have to imagine that. I have her. Her name's Tara. She's wonderful. I don't have to eat a baby or a tree or anything. I don't have to eat anything except her cooking, which is delicious. So I don't really understand this question for me because I'm already there. I don't need to eat babies or trees. Now, if you're saying hypothetically, if I haven't met my soulmate, what would I do? But I have, so I don't need to. So I don't know who this entity is that's forcing me to eat a baby or a tree to find my soulmate, but I'm not interested. So there's your answer, Jip. All right, this next one's from Pokemon Trainer J. We know that if you listen to One Winged Angel when not playing Final Fantasy VII, you're a cretin. Source, Ansem Report Podcast. What is the opposite video game song / music piece to this where you can listen to it whenever? I'm going to go out on a limb here and say anything. Anything other than One Winged Angel. Or Dancing Mad from Final Fantasy VI. Those are the songs that people just like jerk off to death that aren't that good. They're fine. They're good. Okay, they're good. But they're not as good as people act like they are. If you sit there on Spotify with your headphones in and listen to One Winged Angel, you're cretinous. I guess the video game music I listen to is more calming and relaxing. I like to listen to stuff by Yoshinori Matsuda, Zeno Blade. I always get the Zenos mixed up. Zeno Blade, Chrono Cross, Chrono Trigger, lots of things. I like his stuff. It's very calm and peaceful. I like David Wise, the guy who did Donkey Kong Country 1 through 3. His very calm, peaceful stuff, very good stuff. And then I like a lot of the Final Fantasy and Kingdom Hearts soundtracks, but I don't find myself listening to like the aggressive songs, if that makes sense. Like, I'm not typically listening to, like, this is the song that popped in my head, but the mini boss music from FF7, you know, like, if I'm listening to music like that, it's music that has lyrics that is from like a rock band or something like that. I don't really like listening to that from a video game perspective in my spare time. I'm more of like a calming, like, I like Toby Fox's stuff, Deltarune, Undertale. That stuff is like, and even the stuff that's more aggressive, it's different, you know, like it's not as, I'm not talking about Megalovania. I don't listen to Megalovania. Megalovania to me is like One Winged Angel. We're like, this is the coolest song. It's not as. You know, it's like, it's fine. It's good for what it is in the video game and what it's used for. It's not something I'm just going to listen to, you know? So I don't know that I specifically answered your question on this one, but anything else is listenable. You don't just have to listen to One Winged Angel. It's okay. Thank you. All right, and then the last question for this episode is from Orpheus Joshua. And he wants to know, what was the most orgasmic stream / podcast you've had? And this is a throwback to when OJ would just fit the word orgasmic into every question of the week answer he would give. I don't think I've ever orgasmed during streamer podcasts, to be clear. I've not had a wet podcast or a wet stream. That's fucking stupid. Tangent. I remember the sex ed video I was shown in like middle school where this kid has a wet dream. Like they show him waking up and there's a big like cum stain on his fucking sheets, right? Which is like, wait, was he laying on his stomach? Anyway, there's a big cum stain on his sheets. And he's like, what do I do? I don't want my mom to find out. And so he runs downstairs and he grabs ketchup and mustard and just starts spraying it on the cum stain. And then his mom goes to do his laundry and she's like, why did he put ketchup and mustard on the sheet? And that's always stuck with me. Like, why was that his reaction to that? Why did he do that? And also, to be clear, it wasn't his reaction to it. It's someone wrote this as a scenario. Like, it wasn't like I was watching this kid actually go through this experience. This was a written scenario where someone decided, yeah, the best thing for the kid to do would be to squirt ketchup and mustard on the cum stain. So anyway, that's what that made me think of. Thank you, OJ. If by orgasmic you mean pleasing, we've had a lot of really good streams and podcasts. We've been very blessed. The easy answer would be episode 69 of the Answer Report, you know, because that's funny. Haha, sex. I think our Persona 5 streams were always pretty orgasmic. I think when we started playing that game, I don't know that everybody was on board, but by the time we finished Royal, I think everybody was like, man, I wish we had more Persona to play. So that's always a fun experience when it goes that way. We're probably done at this point. I don't know. Again, you guys are in the future, but I've really liked playing Cult of the Lamb. I think that's just such fun interaction. And I mean, we haven't had sex yet in the sex update as of me recording, but I'm certain, surely we've been able to have sex in the game by now. Surely. So those are fun. Obviously, the charity streams and the subathons have been a blast. Having Jason play through those God of War games has been so much fun and not something I expected us to do or enjoy. Like, he's not traditionally played games like that and enjoyed them. And that's honestly my favorite thing that we've done streaming, because like Persona 5 is another game like that, where he'll tell you now that that's like one of his favorite games of all time. And I think going into it, he was like, what is this weeb shit? It's not the typical thing he would play. He loves it now. Same with like God of War. I don't think he ever had any kind of interest in God of War. And now he's like, oh, we should play the older games, you know? And like, that's like always been the goal for me in trying to introduce games to my brother, games that I've liked or know I would like, and playing them with him to see, you know, find out if he's going to like them or not too, you know? But a lot of that has to do with you guys and the experience where you guys like hang out with us on stream and make it more fun, you know? So yeah, that's what I would say is the most orgasmic stream / podcast is the one where I came in my pants and covered it up with mustard and ketchup. Thank you, OJ. That's going to do it for this week's Secret Answer Report. Thank you guys so much for listening and watching and sending me the topics. If you want me to talk about something specific, go down in the description, join the Discord, go to the Secret Answer Report channel, say, hello, I would like Michael Spaghetti to talk about this thing. And it could be anything. Please don't make it weird. Or you can email me at answerreportpodcast@gmail.com, subject line, Secret Answer Report, and I will talk about it on air. Please go follow and subscribe if you haven't already. Maybe drop a like on this video if you're on YouTube, you know, because I'm putting in the effort to put my face on the camera. See here, where there, here I am. That is my face. And I'm here for you guys. So drop a like, help me out, support the show. We will be back with a regular Anthem Report podcast next week, hopefully. Fingers crossed. Otherwise, you'll be seeing my dumb mug again, so get ready for that shit. I still don't have an outro. That's it. Show's over. Go home.
Walk around and say,